My name is Lisa Mitchell Bennett, and I work at the University of Texas Health Science Center School of Public Health, Brownsville Regional Campus. It's a mouthful in Texas. And I'm filling in for Dr. Reiniger, actually, today. The project that I'm going to be talking about today is the study is a qualitative study that we did, and it was supported by a grant from the Texas Department of State Health Services, the UT Houston Health Science Center School of Public Health, Brownsville Regional Campus, and volunteers from community-based organizations, Promotora groups, and UT Brownsville students. Just to give you a little geographical orientation, Brownsville, Texas, is located in Cameron County. It's the very southern tip of Texas on the Gulf of Mexico. And as of the last census, we were 91.3% Latino, and that includes Mexican nationals, people born in Mexico and living in the U.S., as well as Mexican Americans, second, third generation, fourth generation. Our community is very poor, very young, and rapidly growing. In terms of teen pregnancy for the area, the Texas overall teen pregnancy rate was 29.2 per 1,000 among girls or women ages 13 to 17. And in Cameron County, where the city of Brownsville is the county seat, had a rate of 40.9. So you can see that we have one of the highest rates in Texas and in the nation, in fact. So while other places, teen pregnancy is leveling off or going down, we're still going up. We also had the highest rate of teen pregnancy among younger teens, 11 to 14-year-olds, or tweens, as we call them, in Texas in 2000. To give you also a little bit of background in terms of the context for our little study, the Brownsville Independent School District, as well as other school districts in the area, their local health advisory groups decided to discontinue sex education in the schools completely, and we've really not had any formal sex ed going on in our school district for now over 10 years. So local community groups a couple of years ago decided that they were ready to address the issue of teen pregnancy and to explore the issue and to see how we could get education either through the schools or through the community. So the purpose of the study was qualitative in nature, exploratory, to really talk to Latina mothers and ultimately parents. We also did some work with men, but we're focusing on the women, mothers of adolescent children, and kind of explore what their communication with their children about sexuality, issues of sex. And this data was actually used to develop a pilot intervention for Latina mothers and daughters, hopefully to prevent teen pregnancy, STIs, and to address the lack of sex education in local public schools. The aims, again, were to explore the experiences, kind of more specifically, cultural values, norms, and practices among Latinas regarding in the Brownsville area. Obviously, I'm not saying Latinas. We're talking about specifically these women in Brownsville, Texas, the border community. And their communication with adolescent children about sexuality, to describe their confidence and self-efficacy in terms of teaching their adolescent children about human sexuality, to identify barriers to that communication, to describe Latina mothers' attitudes about the role of public schools in providing sex education. And the reason for that is that the local health advisory groups that were mandated by the state for the local school districts use the excuse that culturally Latinos in the area in the lower Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville don't think it's appropriate for sex to be taught in schools. And so that was sort of their excuse, and that culturally it's something that should be taught at home. So we were sort of trying to address that and explore that and see if that was really the case. And finally, to identify effective topics, approaches, and settings to equip Latino parents to talk to their adolescent children about sexuality and STIs. So we did, this was a focus group study, qualitative completely. We led 6 focus discussion groups by trained moderators. We had 43 participants. During the focus groups, we administered a short survey, written survey, that had some questions about communication, about supervision, and then demographic, and also acculturation scale, so that we could figure out who we were talking to. Four of the groups were run in Spanish, one in English, and there was one in both languages, back and forth. We also did three additional groups with fathers, but that's not in this data today. The inclusion criteria for the focus groups were Latina adults, mothers of adolescent children between the ages of 10 to 16, and residing in Brownsville or Cameron County, Texas. And many of the women that participated in the group had they all had children in between those ages, but they also had many other children, some of them older and some of them younger. So it wasn't just that they, you know, had an adolescent child. They may have had grown children also. The methods for the focus group analysis, they were recorded, transcribed. We used descriptive coding, theme, and network analysis using Atlas software. And, of course, the surveys we entered in SPSS. In terms of the theory, in developing the guide, we used social cognitive theory constructs. We focused on environment, self-efficacy, behavioral capability, and expectations. I'm kind of flying through this because I really want to get to the meat of what the women said. So an example of how we used the social cognitive theory to design the survey or the guide, the questions for the focus groups, is just, for example, self-efficacy and behavioral capability. A sample question would be, how confident are you talking to your adolescent children about reproductive anatomy? We split it up into different questions, sexually transmitted infections, and then we would probe about how comfortable they are talking about their body, how comfortable they are talking about their relationships and sexuality in terms of relationships, and methods, specifically methods of protection and using methods of protection. How comfortable are you, how confident are you, and how effective are you? Another example of an environment question, we wanted to find out how the mothers themselves had learned about sex, kind of what their environmental context for this was. Did they, when they were teenagers, from their parents, siblings, relatives, you know, TV, books, opposite sex? And also we asked them if and what they learned about sex in school. Real quickly, I'm going to go through the demographics. In terms of, we use the Marin short acculturation scale. It's really just more about language use. In our community, we have a pretty low acculturation in general in our population. This reflects it. As you can see, 86% scored very low on the Marin scale, which means they are not highly acculturated to U.S. culture, whatever that means. But and there are some obvious reasons why. 70% of our the people who participated were Mexican-born, living in the U.S. So they had immigrated to the United States at some point. But again, it's a border community, a lot of back and forth. We've got families on both sides of the border. So, and then 20% were Mexican-American or U.S.-born, but considered themselves Mexican-American. Income pretty much reflects our community. We did, because of our recruitment strategies, we did target lower income folks, but not the lowest. As you can see, 40%, almost 40% made under $10,000 a year. This is yearly income. And in terms of the mother's education, you can see 23% did have a GED or high school graduates, which is actually a little bit higher than our usual target population, but 16% didn't even have a sixth grade education or had sixth grade or less. Some of the questions on the little survey, and we just ran frequencies. Do you have a child? This was interesting, that had a baby or fathered a baby as a teenager. Again, I wanted to explain that they have, obviously some of them have older kids, but they all have children who are teenagers. So this was really interesting because we didn't purposely recruit parents of teen parents, but it turned out that 23% of them did already have children who had been teen parents. So that's kind of interesting. We asked some questions in terms of the number of times in the last 6 months they had talked to their children about sex. And 44% said frequently. Last 6 months, talk to your teens about someone that you know who had gotten pregnant or had an STI, another teen. And as you can see, there's, you know, there are definitely some communication going on already among this population. 70% said yes, they had. And we collapsed a few questions about supervision that had to do with, you know, how familiar they were with their children's friends, how if they knew pretty, you know, most of the time where their children are, their free time, what they did in their free time, and what their plans for the next day were. And as you can see, we had a 66% of them came out with a pretty high supervision score. So more than half are supervising their children. And now to the kind of the meat of the focus group. And we didn't expect to spend so much time on this question or to learn so much from this, but it was really the most interesting thing that came out of the groups was asking the women to talk about their own experiences learning about sex. And in general, you know, across, again, for us to have this come up as a theme, it had to have been mentioned in at least three of the six groups. And many times it was more than that. So most had never discussed sex or their body with their own parents. There was a lot of talk. They talked about how their parents talked to them about you have to remain a virgin, but it was always a mystery about what that meant. They didn't really know, you know, what is it? What does it mean to be a virgin? They didn't often know what that meant when they were young. The topic was a taboo, and they were often shamed for asking questions, and it was called dirty. And I have some quotes here, and these are all translated from Spanish just so that it makes it quicker and everyone can understand. When I asked my mother a question about this topic, she said, "What are you even thinking about those dirty things for?" My mother told me that if a boy ever touched me, even just held my hand, I would not be a virgin anymore. When I was 14, a boy kissed me, and when I told my mom, she said, "You're worth nothing now on this ranch or to this family. I thought I wasn't a virgin." This woman actually went on to tell how she ended up leaving the house because of this kiss and, you know, finding some guy to marry her just because she felt like she had really failed. And it sort of snowballed into problems in her life. So we were deaf and dumb when it came to this topic. They kept us in the dark. So again, to summarize in terms of that question, very few had open communication with their own parents. There were many painful experiences due to ignorance. They had to learn through their own mistakes. And across all groups, everyone who answered the question all said they wanted to have better communication with their own kids. Most of the participants didn't learn the facts until their first sexual experience or when they were married. And the women, when we talked to them about the difference between boys and girls, they perceived that the partners, that the men learned in school or on the street from peers, that they were sort of allowed to learn and talk about it more. And this is a woman talking about how she first, on her wedding night, "I was too scared because I didn't know what to expect. On my wedding night, he finally had to force me." Oh, that didn't get translated. Well, I'll translate it right now. And another one, I'm sorry. "I was traumatized. I was so scared because I didn't know how you have a child or how to have relations. When I had an experience, it was very painful. I would have really liked that somebody would tell me what's going to happen in a sexual relation." There was a lot of joking and teasing about it, sex, among the boys. It seemed like they were allowed to talk about it and we were not. So really this perception that girls were just kept in the dark completely and boys were allowed to talk and learn. We asked them we sort of said, "What's your reaction when we say that the term teen pregnancy? What do you think about teen pregnancy?" Oh no, 5 minutes, okay. And some, the women, you know, at least in 3 to 6 of the groups mentioned that they thought of failure on the part of the parents, loss of childhood, lack of options for future, sadness and pain, and that they can relate to it. There have been some, at least locally, there's been some kind of discussion that, oh, well, these, you know, people from Mexico or Latinos, they think it's fine for girls to get pregnant as teenagers. So we didn't find that in the groups. Actually, the mothers were didn't think of it as a positive thing. And some quotes to support that. It's interrupting their childhood. Her life is destroyed. They lose the independence and freedom to progress. It's harder, but she can do it. So also a sense of hope. But, you know, I did it. She can do it. It's not the end of the world. My child can look at me because I had her at 16, and it isn't something I would want for her because she has a lot more life to live and doesn't need the responsibility of having a child. So they don't necessarily want that for their daughters. And then another quote, teen pregnancy, you didn't educate them well, failure. So a real sense of responsibility that, you know, we need to educate them. What mothers really wanted for their kids, when we asked them, what are your dreams, what are your hopes for your kids, with regards to sexuality, that better education, they want a better future for them than they had. They want the girls, or their daughters and sons, to learn that sex needs to be connected with love, to know the facts and make their own decisions, and for kids to receive sex education in school. And a quote, the more they can learn in school, the better. They're more trained to teach this to our kids. So a sense that the schools know better how to talk about it. I think they should permit this information be given to the adolescents in school because they spend more time in school than with their parents. Many of them work. And this came up again, that the mothers really felt like there was just so much pressure on them that sometimes they were working 2 and 3 jobs. They just didn't seem to have a lot of time or confidence to communicate with their kids. And then we did have in 3 of the groups, there at least was one person who talked about how they thought maybe it was better to educate kids at home and not do it in the schools. And here's a quote to support that. Many think that if you say it to them in school, they'll experiment or you will give them more opportunities. I think it's better to begin at home. The home is the first place for education. So we did find that opinion as well. Again, another quote about more information at a younger age. Don't wait until the moment your daughter sees things for herself. Like in our case, if they had informed us a little earlier, perhaps it would have been prevented. And the barriers that they identified when we asked them to effective communication with their children, that the parents themselves had ignorance about their own bodies, their anatomies, sexually transmitted infections, transmission. They really did not feel confident about talking about that. That they didn't have quality time with their kids. They had to just work to survive. That was their priority. And that they felt that they were not educated enough about the topic. They also mentioned that kids already know too much, that they're sort of ahead of them somehow. They've seen it on TV, that their peers at school, and that the parents are not confident in terms of communication because they never experienced it. Nobody ever told them about it, so they don't have a good model. They identified that as being a barrier. We're working 2 and sometimes 3 jobs. There's no time to spend talking, and all of a sudden they're grown. Another quote, we're worrying about the day-to-day, the basic necessities. Social status and education make a difference so that the more education would make you better at transmitting information to your kids. So, again, sort of a lack of confidence based on their education. I'm almost done. And they really helped us identify some things that would be useful to them and that they really were excited about it and actually, you know, asked us, when are these training sessions going to start? You know, they really wanted it to happen. They wanted training on basic anatomy and the reproductive system. They wanted information about diseases and infections. And then they wanted to learn kind of general communication skills. How do you talk to kids who are rebellious or angry? I want to teach my kids what to expect emotionally and physically from sex and how to protect themselves. And again, that there's a connection between love and sex. It's not just physical. So they talked about they needed a good, confident teacher in a comfortable setting, and that comfortable setting that they identified across groups would be home-based, small group classes in their own neighborhood. They mentioned promotoras or lay health advisors as well as being one way to convey. I want the teacher to be confident so they can give us the confidence to say what we want. So, what to say at what age, how to come to their level, how to say it, how do you say it for them. We have the experience with sex, but we don't know how to say it, so it makes a difference. Tools, handouts, they talked about bringing in teen parents to talk about their own experiences and classes for parents and kids together. 1 minute, I'm getting the 1 minute sign, okay. So in general, to summarize, they really do, the women all said they wanted to do a better job at communicating about sex and other topics than their own parents did. It doesn't seem to be a taboo topic for the women. They really do want to have their kids to get this information, and they want to learn how to do it. So this was, again, just qualitative exploratory for us so that we can now start working with the community, or in our community collaboratives, to set up an intervention or education for the parents, and also try to get parents fueled up so that they can go to the school board and talk about how they really do want sex education back in the schools.